Hi, welcome to the Barry Nation podcast, where we support the bariatric community with humor, humility, and honesty. I'm April.
I'm Jason.
And I'm Natalie.
And today we are going to share with you kind of some strategies that we have been using really throughout our bariatric journey, but especially this month as we have been learning how we kind of overcome these setbacks and strategies. The mantra that we kind of continue to come back to, especially this month, is that our story is in the struggle. And if we want to get familiar with our own story just for ourselves, we have to acknowledge this struggle piece. And it's not that, you know, our entire life is not our story, but where the meat of our story lies is within that struggle. So today we just kind of want to dive into that mantra a little bit. We want to share about how the three of us have really been learning to embrace our story and share our story, and just some little tips and tricks that we can all use along our own personal journeys. So we're just going to keep this short and sweet today, my friends. So if you're ready to dive in, I say, let's just do it.
Let's go.
All right. So this past weekend, we were invited to participate in the Barry Diaries event live in Tacoma, Washington. It was mind-blowing for a lot of different reasons, but I think the three of us really left there with a stronger understanding of just why it is so important to tell our story, not necessarily to the world, but just to ourselves, right? Like becoming familiar with our own story. And as I was kind of prepping for that, you guys know I hate talking about myself. It is not my jam. Don't find it comfortable. I really realized that I hadn't even gotten familiar with my own stories from my past. And when I went back, when I was going through pictures, I really had to like come face to face with what I was going through as a child, as a young adolescent, as I was growing in size. And I had just kind of forgotten those parts of my story, or I didn't want to acknowledge them. And looking back on those old images, I really got to reconnect with myself and who I was as a young woman. And I really had to come to realize that I didn't like the way that I looked back then. I realized that I was larger than everybody else. I couldn't fit into the traditional like gap size clothing, right? I was wearing a men's North Face jacket. I just was always larger than everyone else around me. When I looked at those pictures though, I don't see a lot of like self-hatred or shame. I mean, those things are there, but I really realized that I was discovering things about myself and my size and where I fit into the world. And I was equally trying to carve out my own path so that I could fit in, so that I could not feel like an outsider. And that was just a really important thing, I think, for me to revisit, because even though it was really hard, you guys know I did not like talking about that at the event. I guess I'm feeling a little bit more empowered about my own story, right? And it's just like, it was okay that I realized in the moment that that was the last time that I could fit into traditional Gap clothing, right? Like, oh my God, I was wearing a men's North Face jacket, but that's it. It was what it was. There's nothing that I can do now to go back and change it. That's what it was.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That's a part of my story. You know, and those struggles along the way, you know, let me know that I'm going to have to do something about my weight. I need to figure this out. This is something that I need to address, because even back then I was having health problems, you know, but it's also kind of helped me just kind of let go of those old fears and wonderings and those kind of old limiting beliefs, because I am where I am now and I'm happy and I'm healthy.
If you think about it, you're looking at it through a different lens than you did back then, because back then, you know, you've matured, you've been through a lot of things, you've seen a lot of things, you've heard a lot of other stories, and you realize, along with myself and I'm sure Natalie as well, that the shame that we once felt about how we looked, or the fact that we couldn't fit those clothes, or the fact that, you know, we didn't look like everybody else, you know, we start to let go of some of that shame as time goes on, because we realize that there's nothing really shameful about being different than everybody else. You know, now that we're older and we realize being different is something to be proud of and stand out and do the things, you know, we're working towards health as the goal, not so much as I want to be a, you know, a an Abercrombie model, or I want to be this or that. You don't want to be, you know, it's not so much specifically an aesthetic that we're going for. It's overall health, because at the end of the day, you can look as pretty as you want to, but if you're not healthy, you're still going to have severe complications, and possibly your life's not going to be extended like you would want it to be. So you'll just be pretty and not here. So, you know, the thing, you'll have a bunch of pretty pictures of you, but you won't be here. So looking at it from a more, you know, from a more mature standpoint, like we are now versus what, like we did when we were 15 or coming up, you know, are the different phases of our lives, is I think what is helping us to also let go of some of the feelings that we felt once upon a time.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, I've told my story a lot on the podcast, and I've told it on Instagram and in person. And every time, you know, people say, oh, when you had your first surgery, I was 15. They said, did you tell people, did you have a support? And I said, no. I mean, in the midst of it, I was 15 years old who just had weight loss surgery. I'm not going to share that. You know, if anything, I was ashamed that I had to go to those lengths at such a young age. And every single time that I tell my story, I own a little bit more. I dig a little bit deeper. I can, you know, fully share my thoughts that I had in the moment, because every time you tell your story, you take that ownership back. You take that ownership of you, of your story and the things that happened to you, you take those back. A lot of our lives, I think, are spent kind of, for lack of better terms, like blaming or putting saying that things happened to me instead of things happened. There's a big difference between the two. There's a really big difference in the mindset. Things happened to me, or things happened.
Oh.
And every time I tell my story more and more, it's my brain realizes it wasn't me. It just happened.
And that is so powerful, because if you think that something is always happening to you, you kind of put yourself in this box that's hard to get out of, right? Like, everything's always happening to me. Whereas mm-hmm. if you just acknowledge, like, well, this happened to me and it happened to lots of other people, right? The universe isn't out to get me. This was just an experience that I went through. It opens you up to kind of moving beyond it, right? It's like your ladder out of this like deep, dark hole that we find ourselves in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the beautiful part about that is it's the 20, you know, 27, 28 year old Natalie now that's helping the 15 year old Natalie out of that box.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can have the ladder, but you still need help to get to the ladder. And so you're old, you know, you're now you that realizes those that your 15 year old self couldn't realize. That's where you're having to go back and help yourself along to get to where you are now.
Mm-hmm. And it was really powerful. Speaking of this weekend, we won't totally dwell on this last weekend, but for those who weren't there, but I did meet someone who went to my same surgeon from a decade ago, who had the same experience as me. And for me, that was a healing moment for me to say, it wasn't just me. And to think about how many other people, not just at my surgeon's facility, but how many other people in general had that happen to me or to them. That was a really healing moment. And that's why it's so important to tell our stories, because then people come out and they say, yep, that happened to me too.
Yes. Well, and what I've also really come to understand is that, you know, I was scared to kind of share my story. I was scared to share those pictures. You know, I shared like family photos. I mean, I went deep. I mean, you know, here's infant me and my dad, you know, like, all right, well, here it is. There was so much fear in the possibility of me sharing too much of my story, or right. Like, it was really something that I was trying to hold on to, but I've realized that sharing my story and going through those photos just for myself was a powerful moment of release for me, right? Like, my old self, that story that I was trying to keep hidden, in a lot of ways was kind of keeping me back. It was holding me down. I was giving it so much power and control, but it's my story. And if I'm letting my own story keep me down, then nothing that I do outside of myself is going to make a bit of difference, because I'm the one that's holding myself back, right, in the first place. So I've just been really reflecting and thinking about, you know, the first place that we have to get good with our story is not getting ready to share it publicly. It's here with me. I have to start telling my own story to myself so that I can move beyond it. I can move past it. I can open up that new chapter. I can do these new things. But if it's not even good with me here, like, none of this stuff actually really matters. And I think when we encourage people to share their story, what we maybe need to preface is, you need to share your story with yourself. This isn't for the public. This isn't for anybody else but you. And once you get good with your story, you almost become like limitless. Like, nothing is going to hurt or harm you because you own your own story. If somebody wants to come at you with judgment or shame or whatever it else, that doesn't matter, because you yourself have let go of all of that because you fully own your story.
I think it's also something to be said that everyone owns their story in a different way.
Yeah.
For April, it was reflecting before sharing. For me, I had to rip the Band-Aid off and just start sharing it. And then every single time it got easier and easier and easier. And that's kind of how I shared my or owned my story. There are different ways to do that, different ways that you can own your story.
Yeah, I was singing mine from the rooftops from the get-go. I didn't have to prep. I didn't do anything. I was just like, hey, I'm going to do this. And then when I did, everybody's like, hey, how was this? But I did realize one thing, though, that I've been kind of coming to grips with is, as much as I say I skated through and didn't have a hard time with anything, complication-wise, that's true. But I'm also glossing over a lot, which I've come to learn and starting to come to grips with now, the more I do tell my story, like what you're saying. There were those times and struggle points where I was mourning the new life and the old life going away. And I was, you know, having to struggle to get my head around where we were going now and how things were, you know, those types of things. I feel like I gloss over a lot and negate when I talk about how easy of a time I had post-op, like I didn't really have any complications, which is true medically, but not so true mentally. And that's more of what I own. The more I tell my story, I realize when somebody's like, yeah, I really haven't struggled with this. And I'll be like, you know, come to think about it, round about your time, I did too. And those are things that I'm slowly starting to kind of reintroduce. It's almost like, you know, after having amnesia, you get parts of your memory back. And I'm like grabbing little pieces here and there and being like, oh, well, I guess this is a more complete puzzle than I thought it was originally. And things are really starting to come into focus about how much I really have overcome to get to where I am.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really saw that this weekend with both of you, and I'm not going to disclose anything that we talked about or shared, but I will just say, you know, the three of us got to spend some legit quality time together this past weekend. And I was just amazed at, you know, we talk all the time, but, you know, Jason, I got to learn some of your more intimate struggles. And that added a whole new understanding to me and like what you're going through, you know, now even. Yeah. And Natalie, you shared some pictures from your past and I was just blown away. I mean, I was just like, oh, I mean, it gives me chills to thinking about it because I now have visuals for your stages of your journey. And it's a whole nother layer because when you're talking about that portion of your life, it's like, oh my God, I know now what you look like. And it's just this rectifying of your story, right? It's this like piece to the puzzle. And it's so fascinating that, you know, I didn't know those pieces before, and yet I still know you and I can still support your journey and your struggle. But now I just know so much more about it. And it makes you such a more complete person in my own brain and my own understanding of you. Mm-hmm. Right. And then I step away from that and it's like, oh my gosh, like, there's so much more that we could all be sharing about our stories that would really help people. And you just don't understand that that's actually a really important piece, that every piece is important. And if I don't know it for myself, and if I don't own it, it could be difficult to share it. So how do we go about doing that? Because these are the things that I think people really need to know. I mean, I couldn't believe it when I said on the buried at the podcast, and I was like, that was the last time that I remember I could fit into Gap clothing. Mm-hmm. Like you could hear people audibly were like, oh my God. Yeah. I mean, it was one of those moments where it's kind of like the dam breaking.
Yeah. It was kind of like the world that seems so vast. I feel like the bariatric community just seems so vast. And in that room, in that moment, when you were sharing your story, you were bringing up those photos. I was kind of scanning the room and I could not only hear people saying, whispering to each other, like, yeah, I remember, you know, this or that, but I also could see people just nodding their head and knowing that they have their own picture that was exactly like yours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you think about now, it's like when people talk about how they are post-op today, no matter how far it is, it's always just, I feel great. I was able to do this one thing or that one thing or NSV this, or, you know, they remember those types of things. But it's almost like we remember every minute of being pre-op, of our biggest selves, because we can, you can show us a picture, I don't care what it is, and we will tell you how we felt that day, what we were doing that day, if our hips hurt, if our knees hurt, if our feet hurt, if we walked too far, needed a place to sit and there wasn't one. We can tell you all of those things. But post-op, you look at a picture and you can just be like, yeah, I remember that day we did this NSV and it was great. But I think there's just a different level of being in tune with ourselves that we were pre-op than we get to be post-op, even though we have more brain capacity to kind of connect with those things. We're just so happy that we can do all the things. We don't have to keep the mental catalog of it anymore, because pre-op, you had to know. I can tell you where we're going to go, if there's a place to sit, how far I got to walk before I can sit, how long I can sit before I have to get up and move around again. Like all those things, we had to be so tactical in the way we moved. There had to be so much pre-planning. And now post-op, we're just like, okay, let's just go. Let's shoot and holler shit and figure out what happens.
Dude, do you remember, were we trying to figure out how we were getting, somewhere. And I remember I paused. Was it at the Space Needle this weekend? I don't remember what it was, but I looked at somebody and I was like, okay, so let's just check in with everybody. It was the ferry. I said, yeah, okay, is everybody okay with walking from the ferry to the market?
Oh, yeah.
Right. And remember, and I went inside and I was like, okay, so here's the plan. Like our plan is to go here to the market and it's maybe like a half a mile, a quarter mile walk, you know, like, is everybody okay? And I remember everybody took a moment, was like, yeah, that's okay. And it was almost like, why are we asking this? But then we all caught ourselves to be like, oh my God, but before surgery, I probably would have like Ubered, or I probably would have, or maybe I wouldn't have, or,
oh yeah.
Right. No. I mean, it was like,
yeah. And to think about how much walking we did.
Oh, that, yeah.
I mean,
the hills and all that stuff. Yeah. No.
All of it. I mean, there were huge hills. And yeah, I mean, I remember looking at Jason being like, I got to take a minute. And he was like, all right. And, you know, step back for a minute. All right, I'm good. But it's having the safe space again to tell your story, but also to kind of live your story with other people. Like in those moments, we are adding on to our story, because there are a lot of times where, like, that I've spent with the three of you, or both of you and many others, where I'm like, oh, this would have never happened before. No. Or, oh, and it was noticeable. Like, because you're right, Jason, as you were talking about the pre-planning and all of this stuff, it's like, I was more aware of my body and my size beforehand, but then there are moments post-op where I'm also aware of my body in a different way.
Yes.
And I acknowledge it in a different way. And so it's been really cool as we grow our friendships and like spend more time together. I take those moments and I'm like, oh, this is just another chapter, another page in my story.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, well,
I've been writing stuff down. You guys know, I've been writing stuff down in my notebook, but what you said, Natalie, is so powerful. We are living our story in the moment and taking, you know, just in that day, I think all of us took a little bit of a break at some point, because we were hustling, we were moving everywhere. We were go, go, go. And for you to just be like, hey, I need a minute. And for everybody to go, cool. Like, yep. No big deal. And then moving on, that is living your story. Mm-hmm. That is like, that is not being afraid to hide your story. That's not being afraid to acknowledge your story. That's you living it. That's you saying, this is what we're doing. This is how I'm living in this moment as a bariatric patient and as a human. And here are the people around me that are supporting me living my story in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Powerful.
Mm-hmm. And I think people always ask us, why should I go to this live event? You know, what's so special about it? And it's not, I hate to say it, but it's not the main event, right? It's not the speaking events. It's not the this or that. It's those moments where we are together living our life and we can do it freely. That's us living our story in the moment, saying, oh, I need to eat a dive bar. Or like my cousin was with us this weekend and we're at April's house and we're like, we're hungry. It was nearing 5 o'clock and we were hungry. And my cousin just goes right to your fridge and starts eating those meat sticks out of your fridge. And I was like, mm-hmm. Oh shoot, I'm hungry too. And because we know that we're comfortable enough to just do what we need to do in the moment because we're bariatric patients now.
Yes. Take care of our needs.
Yeah. It's being around a group of people that just understand, like we talk about it all the time, the sympathy versus empathy, and just the blanket understanding that you have in a room full of people that have been where you are. So mm-hmm. nobody looks at you crazy when you eat off a little tiny saucer, and nobody looks at you nuts when you can't finish all the food on that little saucer. Like, You get food out, you put food up, like, because you know you're not going to eat it all. Like, you put out, like, April put, I don't know how many times she put a big spread out, and not even a quarter of it got touched, and so we didn't put it back up, and we'll use it later. Because, I mean, that's just a part of it. I mean, it's legitimately going to these things and knowing you can walk into a room of 200 people that, and it's, you're never going to feel like you belong like that anywhere in your life. And a lot of people think they're like, oh, it's going to be like high school prom. It's going to be like this. And I'm going to feel like I don't fit in. It's just not that way. Like, you go to these events and I can't explain the feeling just washes over you of understanding, acceptance of you just belong somewhere. And it's a feeling that a lot of us have never felt before. So we completely understand that there's apprehension, that you're nervous, that you've never met. This may be your first event. You've never met anybody from the, from Instagram or from online before, but I promise you, it's going to be like you've known them all your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and there was a moment before we left for the Berry Diaries event, and I said, "Man, I'm going to be hungry at some point." I knew there was going to be food, but I was like, "Just in case, I should bring something." And someone said, just bring, there were these like Oberto, like pepperoni sticks. They said, just put some in. And I said, okay. So we had what we called purse meat. And I remember being hungry in the car on the way back from the event. I was like, man, I'm really hungry. And Tabitha was driving. I said, Tab, we might have to stop. I'm really hungry. And I just remembered and I go, purse meat. And I like whipped out my purse meat and started eating it in the car. And no one else in the world would understand what I meant. But being in a car of four people who were bariatric patients, I was just sitting back there eating my little meat sticks. And it's just, yeah, there's just nothing like being able to just be yourself and live and advocate for yourself with no judgment.
Yep. It is living our story, right? It's knowing our story. It's owning our story. It's sharing our story and it's living our story, right? Mm-hmm. And understanding that the little moments of struggle and the big moments of struggle, that's where our story lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we say this all the time, by sharing our recipe, by sharing our story, we are helping others, right? Because my recipe might have an ingredient that somebody else needs. And if I don't share it, they could be missing out on that. And we acknowledge, really, I think now we understand this more than ever. We have to start with ourselves. We have to know our story and own our story and share our story with ourselves before we can share it out to others. And, you know, I wish that everybody gets to the point where they can share their story, because I know how valuable every individual story is. I also know that you might not ever be ready to share it to the world, and that's okay. As long as you share it with yourself, that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. And we are good. We are good with it there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh man. It was a powerful weekend. This has been a powerful month of journey and self-discovery. And I just remain, I mean, as we all do, beyond thankful that we have these safe places to talk about these things and acknowledge our story and share it with the world.
Yeah. It's really unique and special. And I think sometimes like we might take it for granted. Like I forget that people don't have this. And then I, you know, like bringing my cousin this weekend. And then all of a sudden she told me over the weekend, I get it now. And I just said, good. Like you better, yeah. Because this is like, it is, it's safe. I mean, this community really saves lives. It really, yeah. Really saves people's lives in more ways than you can imagine.
Well, and it's good to see somebody in, you know, that's part of the community that gets it. But even April's husband said the same thing over the weekend. Like even he came to grips with what's going on. Cause he looked at me when we were at our pre-funk event and was like, man, this is a lot of people. I'm like, oh, buddy, this is nothing. Like, this is great. It's a great turnout. I was like, but this is like 55 people. I was like, think if we had everybody that follows us. And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, dude, that's 16,000 people, bro. Like, that's a lot of people. And he like stopped and his eyes got all big. And he was like, oh, damn. I'm like, yeah, man. I was like, we're out here. Like, we're doing it. Like, we're touching people's lives. Like, we talk to people a lot. Like, we're a big reason why a lot of people are starting to become, you know, part of the community, more active in the community, just simply because they, you know, they didn't know that it was something that they needed. And being able to offer that to people is just, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, for him to say to me, you know, privately, I get it. I think I get it now. You know, it's like, okay, you know, because he just sees me like this on a phone working or sitting in front of a computer working. Yeah. Right. He's met a couple of you, you know, like, you know, this is the first time he'd met you, Jason. Right. So, but when he sees like one or two people, he's like, okay, so you're, you know, making new friends. Cool. Well, then all of a sudden we got to that event. He was like, you know, even just everybody staying at our house. He was like, oh, this is kind of crazy. And then seeing before pictures and after pictures and talking to you guys and then going to that event, the pre-funk and the recording, he was just like, oh, I think I'm starting to understand this now. You know, and for my husband to say, and he's very loving, kind human, you know, like he supports me, you know, this isn't a question of it at all.
Sure.
But for him to verbally say like, wow, I can't believe what you guys are doing. I'm so proud of you. You know, privately, it's like, oh, okay. And like Grady has an Instagram now. So, okay. Like we know we've done
the gram.
The gram,
the gram.
And the fact that it is so cute, you guys. He was like, what should I say in my bio? And I was like, I mean, that's for you to say, bro. And he's like, I think I'm going to say that I'm the husband of Bopra.
Oh, yeah. When we brought up the Bopra, I could see him just grinning from ear to ear. It was great.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, and that's the other thing. I mean, we could go on forever, but that was the other thing. Just seeing partners and supporters. I know April mentioned stories, like having so many supporters that were there to also see what we are doing and what their partners are doing. It's really magical. And I think that even if you have a partner and you feel comfortable sharing your full story with them, like that is also a wonderful place to start. Like it doesn't have to be on Instagram. We would love it if it was, but it doesn't have to be. It can be your friends, your mom, your significant other. It doesn't have to be public. And I think just sharing your story, just verbally saying your story to yourself or close friends, it will really help you own more of your story.
It will. Well, and the really interesting thing that Grady said to me is, you know, he hadn't seen, I don't think, any of those pictures before. They were buried in my parents' house in a photo box. You know what I mean? So he was like, wow, like I'd never seen you in that way, or I've never seen that picture. Or, oh, I've never seen your great grandma. And I didn't, you know, who would have known that you were struggling with gap sizing, you know? And it's like, yeah, I guess why would I ever tell you that? Because like, it's not going to come up in conversation. So it is really powerful now to share our stories with the people we're sharing our lives with, right? Our spouses, our friends, our partners, our, you know, whoever is in your corner, you know, by them knowing your story, they can better advocate for you and they get to know you better. They get to know you on a deeper level. Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing.
It's a great thing.
Well, and sometimes it can also help them to understand a lot of how better to move around you in certain situations, whether they be, you know, outright supporting you or supporting you by kind of stepping back and allowing you to go through motions of feeling or processing or things like that. It kind of helps them connect the dots in that way too. So they know and understand a little better if we do run up, because, you know, we still are going to run up against times where we process feelings that we had from a long time ago that we may not even be thinking about. So when those things come up, they can understand how better to, you know, assist in that way, whether you need assistance, want assistance, or want them just to kind of fall back. So it just helps to better connect a lot of the dots.
Mm-hmm. It does. Yeah, it really is a powerful tool that we can use along our bariatric journey. And it seems so simple, and it's not, right? Like, you getting familiar with your own story, going to take a lot of work. It's a lot of feeling. It's a lot of emotion. It's a lot of discomfort. But we, you know, what we often say is that, you know, the work that you're avoiding is the work you need to do. That's where your growth is going to live, is in that work. And right, when you have the energy, or even if when you think that you don't have the energy, just try it. Just toe dip, right? Take out one picture, think of one moment, connect with one person, say yes to one event, do one thing and just try it and see what lives on the other side of you trying it. Because I'm 99% sure growth is going to live on the other side, right? Where you want to go is in that work.
I've said it a million times and I'll say it again, grow through what you go through.
Yeah. And be honest with yourself. Honesty is a big part of that, because there's a lot of things you want to try to shine yourself on about how you really feel about something or whether or not it really bothered you on that level. And it's hard for a lot of us to kind of connect with that in that way and say, this really did bother me or destroyed me in this way, or this did this. So you know, to avoid those feelings, you'll tell yourself all kinds of stories to say, oh yeah, I don't really want to deal with that right now. So it really wasn't that bad. It must not have been that big a deal, because I don't really want to dig it up right now. But really, that's kind of where that sits there and will fester. If you leave it there long enough, you know, that's how infections happen. And that's how, you know, bad things grow from that. And it just kind of, you know, it snowballs. And that's just not what, you know, like April said, that's the work you really need to do, is the work you're avoiding. So,
yep, it is. Well, and I want to try something new. This just popped into my head, so you guys don't know. You guys don't know about this. But how cool would it be? Is it, if you're listening or you're watching to this episode and it's really resonating with you, we challenge you to go back to your photo archives and pull out a photo that really demonstrates your story in the struggle. Right? Where does your story live in that kind of older photo from your past life? And if you feel comfortable, share it with us privately, and we won't share it anywhere else. And send us a little note about what story is living in that photograph, what struggle is living in that picture. And if you do feel comfortable, share it on social media and use the hashtag #StoryInTheStruggle. Story in the struggle, all one word. Tag us, use that hashtag, and we will share it. Because I think the more of these types of stories that we share, the more connection we're going to make in our community, and the more connected just we're all going to feel to one another. And it could be a really great way to practice, right? Owning, sharing, knowing our own stories. So give that a try. Let's see what happens. And the three of us will do so as well in the coming weeks. But that can be a really powerful way to keep this conversation going within our own community.
And if you're not comfortable maybe sharing on social media, send us a direct message. Share your story with us. Yep. Share like a piece of your story. Share us the full story. We're happy to listen, and we're honored to, you know, talk with you about your story.
Yep. Absolutely.
And if that is even if you need to take a step even back further from that, just take your own moment of personal reflection and send us a direct message and say, I did the challenge that you talked about on the podcast. I just want to let you know that I did it. Awesome.
Awesome.
We will send you like a high five, way to go. Nice work. Right. We might ask you how you're feeling about it, but we'll leave it there. Right. But just to know that you have permission and you do have a safe place already within yourself to start doing this work is pretty powerful.
Yeah.
Pretty powerful. Yes. Well, my friends, we said we keep it short and sweet, and I'm going to hold us to that. Jason, my friend, you want to take us out?
Yes, ma'am. Just want to thank you guys for all the support, the loves, the likes, the shares, the subscribes that you guys have for us. And we just appreciate that so much. And you can still leave us ratings and reviews on your favorite podcast players and or our YouTube channel. And just remember, at the end of the day, you've got this, we've got you, and we'll see you next time.
Awesome. Thank you, friends.
Bye-bye.